I want you to think about your favorite sidekick from TV or the movies. Got some in mind? I think we all like that whole idea of a sidekick because we all like we like to have a best friend, right? We like to have somebody who is always going to be there with us and for us. So here's some very popular sidekicks. Piglet with Winnie the Pooh, right? That takes us way back, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm even wondering in the other two services how many of them are going to know what I'm talking about on a couple of these. Hence, I did not do the Tonto and the Lone Ranger. The other thing was, my memory of that is way better than the pictures. Okay, what I could find online was like, we watched that? That was good? How about this one? This is a little bit more modern, but the donkey, right? And Shrek. Yeah. Here's the Cape Crusaders. Robin was the sidekick to Batman. How about, I know some of you, maybe not too many in this service, this will get a little bit more popular in the next one, but Star Wars. You think of some key sidekicks there? How about Chewbacca? Right. Chewbacca to Han Solo. Getting much more modern, some of you have binged-watched this program or love this program, The Office. My kids love The Office. And so I have caught a few episodes. I got to be honest, I've never gotten into it. But anyhow, Dwight and Michael. Dwight and Michael. Notice Dwight is doing Michael's hair. That's a genuine sidekick right there. Now, the next one here, some of you, this is for me. And some of you are going to connect with it. Others are going to be like, Fast and the Furious. Brian O'Connor with Dominic Toretto. There they are in the Charger. So anyhow, something inside of us loves the idea of a sidekick, of a best friend. And I believe it's because we were, you know, you just go back to the very beginning and you look at God and who God is. And then he says, let us make man in our image. He created us to be relational beings. He created us to be in relationship. And the very next thing that he does, he creates husband and wife. And you're talking about, you want to talk about your sidekick, right? If you're married, that is your sidekick. Now, usually in addition to being married, usually we have one or two best friends. And, and sometimes we got best friends in different stages of our lives. I have a best friend from my high school years, and he and I are no longer, I mean, he still means a lot to me because he was a best friend from my high school years. But now I have another best friend. And one of the other things I've noticed, you either still have that best friend from high school or college. Okay. Those early years, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're kind of, I don't know, today they would call it adulting. I don't know what we called it back then, but you just start connecting and you build these relationships. A lot of times they're in college or maybe they're on the job. And you just have that person with you. In a couple of weeks, Chris and I are going to go down and visit our best friends, Mark and Teresa. It's just the oddest thing. Chris and Teresa work together. Teresa is a medical doctor. Chris is a medical transcriptionist, and they just got to be best friends playing volleyball. And so they invited us over for dinner. And I got to be honest, my first time, I'm like, do I got to do this? But Mark and I ended up being best friends to this day. And I get to times where my heart just aches to be with them. I just need some time because it's refreshing. It rebuilds me. We all need others to be there with us and for us. A bit of a theme verse for this series on body life is Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, but particularly verse 5. It says this, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Individually members one of another. Just think about that. That is a really powerful statement, isn't it? We are members of the body of Christ, and we are members one of another. We are connected to one another. Whether we want to acknowledge that or not, there is a connection that's there, and we should value that connection. In Ephesians chapter 4, again, talking about the body of Christ, Paul has these words to say beginning in verse 15. He says, "Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint." That's a key statement right there for what we're talking about here. "Joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." That joined and held together by every joint. You know that our bodies are held together by connective tissue. There's a syndrome called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. A short or abbreviated form of that is just EDS. And it is a genetic disorder. It's an inherited disorder that causes the connective tissue of a person's body to be extra stretchy and squishy, and when it stretches, it doesn't come back right. Okay? And so somebody with this disorder, one of the ways that they test them is they have them hold their arm out and see how far they can keep going. And this person, their hand would be down here, where mine's out straight. They can take their thumb and they can pull their thumb up and they can touch their forearm with their thumb without excruciating pain. My son James has this. And it is horrible to see all the different things that it causes problems. Now, when he was physically more fit and we didn't know what he had, he did something very cool. When he graduated from high school, he's walking across the AstroTurf on the soccer field at the high school. And, he just got his diploma. He's walking over to join his crew who are gathered on the other side of the field. And he just goes, whoom, down into a split that made men go, ugh, and women go, ugh. And then he's pulled himself right back up. And we just thought, this was him being very athletic and really stretching out. Here, he was able to do that because he has this disorder. And the problem now is that every time you stretch, only goes back so far, where for you and I would go back further. And then you stretch it again, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And it causes all kinds of physical problems. And that causes all kinds of pain. And that causes all kinds of emotional problems. So, when Paul talks here about the body being joined together, those joints, you might not realize it. That connective tissue, you might not realize it, but that keeps you healthy. That keeps you healthy. And interestingly, this disorder is not all that rare. My son's not the only one. There's been other people in our church who have had this disorder, and it affects skin, it affects joints, it affects blood vessels. My understanding is, remember we had a closet here we called Holly's Closet, Holly Adams, that she had it and it affected her blood vessels. And so your body's not healthy when you have some sort of a disorder like this. So the spiritual counterpart, as we think about this, is what is the health of our relationships, where we join together, because that's where the connective tissue is, isn't it? In the body of Christ, we're members one of another, but where is the connective tissue at? The connective tissue is in those places where I know you, I'm connected to you relationally, we are friends, right? And so he is saying here that, we're going to dig into this a little bit deeper in a few minutes, but that those relationships are critical for health. The healthier the relationships, the healthier the body. Here's a scripture that many of you are well familiar with. Proverbs 27:17. Just saying that, some of you recognize that address. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Years ago, on the farm we had in Shanesville, Pennsylvania, I was big enough to handle a scythe. You know what I mean? The curvy thing with the Grim Reaper has a scythe. Okay, for those of you who are non-farm people, that helps you to understand what a scythe is. Okay, and I was finally big enough to handle the scythe. Well, I went out and it was pretty clunky, but I'm trying to do it, and it's just like not happening. So I'm like, I think this blade's not sharp enough. So I get a grinder out. That's how you sharpen a blade, right? I get a grinder out. I start grinding on this blade to sharpen it. And my great-grandfather came into we had a little shop inside the barn. And he said a bunch of words to me in Pennsylvania Dutch, and I'm sure none of them should be repeated. And he took that grinder out of my hands, and he took the scythe away from me. And he began to show me how you sharpen a scythe. And it's probably not like what you would think, like what I thought. You use a grinder. He walked over to the other part of the bench where we had an anvil. And he laid that down and he picked up a ball peen hammer. And he started just carefully tapping on the edge. And he sharpened the scythe with a hammer. That hammer pounding out, thinning out that edge. And what he told me was, that's the only way that you sharpen a scythe. And then he let me take the scythe out and use it. He showed me how to use it. And wow, it really cut. It was amazing. So as iron sharpens iron, and there's different ways. I'm sure you've sharpened a knife in your kitchen, or you've seen a program of a guy sharpening an axe or something. And even when you're using a file, that's metal to metal, right? So iron sharpens iron, and he says here, and one man sharpens another. The reality is that when we come into contact with one another, when we interact with one another, when we engage one another, that in the process of that, it sharpens us. It changes us. And so we should not shy away from that. That engagement, whether it's in the business realm, whether it's in the academic realm, whether it's in the music realm with the musicians, whatever realm that is, the church realm, there is this sharpening process that occurs. This example, I think, of iron sharpens iron speaks to and highlights both the means, the way that it's done, as well as the end. The means is the interaction that includes friction. Let's face it, relationships don't always feel good, do they? And a lot of times when they don't feel good is actually when the most growth occurs, right? That's true in so many areas of life. And then the end is greater usefulness and greater effectiveness, just like sharpening that scythe the right way allowed me to go out and actually use it and cut grass. But it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to rub or beat two pieces of metal together. It creates heat and it creates friction. And the same is true in really good friendships. It takes effort. It takes purpose. It takes intentionality. Another proverb, Proverbs 17, this time instead of 27, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I have three brothers, and you know what I used to think that verse meant? A brother is born for adversity. A brother is born to cause adversity. But that's not what the writer here has in mind. He's talking about the fact that when you go through adversity, and as I got older, especially in adulthood, when I'm going through adversity, who is there at my side? Who's willing to come to my aid? My brothers are. All right? So they're born for adversity. They're born there. They're there to go through the adversity with me. The idea of a friend loves when? At all times. This is a parallel statement. So a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. All times, including adversity, a friend loves. And so does a brother. You see that? And you and I, if you know Christ as your Savior, then we are what? Brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And so the same should be absolutely true for us. Another passage you probably are very familiar with is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, right? Two are better than one because they have a what? Good reward for their toil. I remember years ago working in a body shop. The body shop owner, he came up with a really, really stupid idea. And that stupid idea, see, I had always experienced working in a body shop that I usually had two or three bays that were mine. Because you see, it's, you know, while you're waiting for plastic to dry or paint to dry, you move to the next bay and you work on that car, and then you move to the next bay. And the way that I made money was I just got really skilled at keeping everything kind of moving in a fluid motion, and so I needed three bays. Well, this body shop owner got this brilliant idea that he was only going to give one bay to two guys. I'm thinking, how are we going to make money doing that? But guess what? We actually did. Because there are things that when you do together, you need somebody else to do it. The other thing is that I think you actually work faster. The two people going together get some kind of a rhythm together. There's a synergy when two people come together and work. And many of you have experienced that. Man, house cleaning. Weeding. Right? But you get somebody else to help you do it. It feels like it goes three times faster, not just two times faster, but three times faster, right? So there is a good reward for their toil. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And then he wraps up, and three is even better, right? Three is even better. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see, we all need others to be with us and for us. We all need others to be with us and for us. Let's go back to that Ephesians 4 passage, where Paul's talking about the body of Christ. He says, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we, meaning all of us who are believers in the body of Christ, followers of Jesus, all of us are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, into Jesus. We are to be becoming like Jesus through our relationship with Jesus. But what's interesting is we don't just simply become like Jesus simply through our relationship with Jesus. He's designed the whole body to work together so that, yes, we have to have that relationship with Jesus in order to become like Jesus. But we also need the other connections, relationships, and through those relationships, through those interactions, we also are experiencing this growth to grow up in every way. Look at what he goes on to say. From him, from Jesus, or from whom, Jesus, the whole body, verse 16, joined and held together by every joint, we've already mentioned that, every relationship, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. So you know, with this connective disorder, you know, some of the really key places for my son are his hips and his shoulders. They go out all the time. And man, when his hip is out, he can't walk right. And so sometimes he can't even walk, or he can't get out of a chair. And he is in excruciating pain affecting the whole thing. And so the reality is every joint causes the parts around that joint and even further away from that joint in the physical body to have an impact upon one another. The same is true for you and I. The joints that we have, those relational connections. Yes, there's that immediate thing in which you and I are iron sharpening iron. But you know what? That interaction between you and me or you and somebody else is made greater also by the other relational connections that you have that are also sharpening you and changing you and affecting you. And you know, one of the things that a lot of times we think is that as you've lived a long time knowing Jesus and studying God's word and whatever, that you are way more mature and that you're the one who has things to give to somebody who's brand new. But you throw a bunch of people into a small group and you can have a brand spanking new baby Christian there who knows like nothing except what it means to be saved. And you can have somebody like me who has, degrees behind my name up for studying theology. And guess what? Not only will that new person learn and grow in relationship with me and what I know, but it goes the other way too. So often I learn something or sometimes maybe I'm just reminded of something through what God is doing in the life of that person as well. Iron sharpens iron. As we come together, as we have these relationships, and these joints connect us together, each part, when it's working properly through those relational connections, what does it do? It makes the body grow. It makes the body do what the body's supposed to do, grow and be healthy, so that it builds itself up in love. Genuine relationships are critical to the health and the well-being of the body, to the health and the well-being of the body of Christ. He says here, speak the truth in love. That's part of those relationships. In those relationships, we need to speak the truth in love to one another. We need to actively be being like Jesus, full of grace and truth, a friend to everyone. Very sensitive to the needs of the broken and the marginalized, and very present. As I read the gospel accounts, Jesus was very present. When he was with somebody, he was with somebody. And I got to tell you, that's not always one of my greater strengths. I love people, but sometimes in a room where there's lots of other people around, all those people are just a distraction, and I'm not as present with you as I should be. It is important for us to just be very present with the individual right in front of us in that moment. And Jesus was good at these things. He showed grace and truth. He was friendly to everyone. He was very sensitive to the needs of those who are the outcasts, those who are on the sidelines, the broken, the heartbroken, the marginalized. And he was very present. And we need to see in this that we need to value those relational connections that enable all of us to do our part and that causes spiritual growth. Genuine relationships are critical, not only to the well-being of the church, but to your own personal well-being. We all need deep relationships and friendships. We all need to be together. We need people to be there with us and for us. Now, there's some things that you can do to build some strong relationships. And I found in Romans chapter 12 a couple of these. So I'm just going to kind of rattle them off here for you. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Verse 10, this is Romans 12, 9 and 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Love that. Outdo one another. So bottom line here is don't be fake. Don't be a fair weather kind of friend. Don't be a friend just in word, but be a friend in reality, indeed. Be a real friend. Take 100% ownership of your part in that relationship. Your friend may need you to speak the truth in love. That's not something we usually want to do, but they may need that. And honestly, in those first few moments of that conversation, maybe in those first few hours, maybe even those first couple of days, it doesn't go well, right? But true friends will come back together and they will acknowledge the truthfulness that was shared. We need to let them know that we see them heading into danger. And we also need to reaffirm the good things we see in each other's lives. Verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I think bottom line there, whether you're meeting a need or whether you're inviting people into your house and feeding them, be generous. We need to be, in our friendships, we need to be generous. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The idea there is to be empathetic with one another, to really care for one another. And you know, what's kind of weird is, I think for some people at least, maybe for all of us, it's actually easier to kind of feel somebody's pain than it is to feel their joy in a weird way. Because our own selfishness is like, well, hey, why did they get the new car? I didn't, right? We need to rejoice. And you know, I think as Christians, and then those of us, you know, I'll hit on that Berks County thing a little bit. Those of us who are native Berks Countyans, you know, right? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, especially those. Well, that's a little flashy, don't you think? That's not the right attitude. Woo-woo. You got a brand new whatever, you know? E-Mustang or the new Bronco. And if you do get one of those, you need to come see me because I want to ride. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The reality is that no one is beneath you for you to be friends with them. No one is beneath you for you to be friends with them and to love on them. As human beings, we have a tendency to sometimes evaluate people. We put them in levels. And there's people that, I don't associate with them for whatever dumb reason. That's not the way we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus. Jesus did not do that. He got ripped for doing that, but he didn't do that. He got castigated for being a friend of sinners. That's right. What are you doing? What's your master doing hanging out with those prostitutes and tax collectors? And then be the best friend that you want others to be for you. Now, let's just imagine this for a second. I'm going to throw out some scenarios. Imagine if we all, as a church, if we all prioritize relationships even more than we have been. I think for the most part, we do a pretty good job here. But we can always do better, right? And so imagine if we did that, what that would look like for us as a church. And not only for us as a church, but I think even the impact that we could have beyond the walls of our church, beyond the borders of what the body of Christ means here. Imagine if we all made time in our week to catch breakfast or do lunch with a friend or two. And again, I know some of you do that. One of the cool things, I know there's a number of you, older widowed ladies. You guys get together, you play cards, and you go out for lunch, right? How awesome is that? That is awesome. We need to take time to do that stuff. I realize you're going, yeah, well, they're retired. But you know what? Even those of us who aren't retired, we can get this stuff on our calendar. We just have to be intentional about it. Imagine if we took the advantage of the warmer weather that is coming. You might even feel a little bit of it this afternoon. But it is coming. To plan picnics and hikes and bike rides and motorcycle runs and camping trips and ball games and day trips and you name it. Imagine what that looks like if we get really intentional and we do a bunch of that stuff together this summer. Do things with your friends and you include another person or another couple or another family. Imagine if we made a point to get to know some new folks here at church and drew them into our lives and into our circles. You know, more and more of us are coming back to church each week, but we also have a lot of new people coming. And you know what? If we just put yourself in their shoes, what do they want? They want to be connected. They want to get some friendships going. They want to have somebody to look forward to seeing on a Sunday morning. Well, how do we do that? We connect with them on a Sunday morning, and we connect with them during the week. We draw them into our circle. We include them in our activities. And so we need to think about that. We need to, before you shoot off to your friends when this service is over, look around the room. Who don't you know? You go grab them before they get out of here. All right? Well, those new people are going to run now. I'm just kidding. Hopefully not. Imagine if we invited someone new to join us in our small group that we attend. And imagine if we especially paid attention to those who seem to be just disconnected and slip in and slip out. Yeah, they might not like it, but I can guarantee you this, they absolutely need it. A couple of other just quickies. Ladies, I just want to remind you, there's a women's event coming up. I would encourage you to be there for that. Put that on your calendar. Show up. Get to know some other ladies here in our church. And you know, not only are the relationships here, but we've got a relationship as a church with a church in Haiti, in Viabu. And through that relationship, which, I mean, it really is. How many of you, any of you gone down to Haiti? Yep, a couple of you. How many of you gone twice? Any of you here gone twice? John has. You develop relationships. You're so happy to see the people that you built those friendships with. Now, there's also the Hope for Kids, and you can build a relationship with them. We, Chris and I, have sponsor a little boy named John Carey Destin. John Carey is 11 years old. We got to see him this past fall. We got to meet him for the first time. It was so exciting. It was so wonderful. And then we send letters now back and forth. And that's a relationship. That's not quite the same relationship as I can have with you, but it is a relationship. And I can guarantee you, he's impacting us, and we're impacting him. And so, folks, if you can afford to take on one of these kids, if you haven't done it already, there's a table out in the lobby. I would encourage you to stop by. Why? Because every one of us needs someone to be there with us and for us. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you and we praise you that first and foremost, that you are there with us and for us. But Lord Jesus, we also recognize that you've designed it so that part of our health and growth, personally as an individual, but also corporately as a church, is through the relationships, through friendships. Lord, help us to kind of rethink, repurpose ourselves in this area of friendship. And the folks that are our friends, may we stop and think about, how can I be a better friend? How can I strengthen the relationships that already exist? But on the other hand, help us to look around and see who it is that we can develop a new relationship with, that we can include in our friend circle, that we can impact through relationship, that we can take out to lunch or catch breakfast before we run off to work, or maybe catch a round of golf, or who knows what. But Lord, help us to focus on people, because we all need each other, and you designed it that way. Jesus, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.